Be standing, join me in the call to worship. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name.
Worship the Lord in holy splendor.
The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare.
In his temple all say glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
Sunday, you may have already gotten a slight taste for that. There will be a number of different musical genre that will be used to help us worship and glorify God today. So just enjoy that and let all of these different musical styles and groups help you enter into closer relationship with God. Encourage you to have a chance to look at the happenings there with all of the articles that are in there of things that are going on this summer coming up shortly. There may be some things that you want to participate in yourself. Look at the little tabs in your bulletin. There's a place for you to fill in some things and that you might like to do or sign up for to be a part of. And just pull those off and put them in the offering plate during the offertory when that comes up later in worship today. Senior highs and young adults, college age, there's a special discussion group that's starting on Tuesday, this Tuesday evening, and love to have you be a part of that. It's called Directions, a place for you to talk about your future and where you're headed. So contact Paul Ryman about that if you're interested. Very much. I think the first one is being held actually at Paul and Kim's house, so you're going to be their guest there. Next Sunday, in keeping with the Book of Orders rules that we announced 2 weeks in a row that it's going to happen, and we announced last week, next week is an official congregational meeting, and it'll happen between the services next week right here in the sanctuary, and we're going to elect elders and deacons. You'll see who those folks are. There are program annual reports that you also have a chance to review, ask questions about at that meeting. If you haven't picked yours up, that means you haven't looked in your mailbox recently. They're in there waiting for you, or if you don't have a mailbox, you're like visiting and would like to know, there's a bunch of them out here at the Welcome Center as well. Grab one and find out what's going on at Yorkfield. Then the Saturday after, June the 20th, is the YF Car Wash. So just, there's no point in washing your car between now and then. Just let it get really dirty. Don't take it to those expensive car wash deals. Bring it here. It'll be right out in front. You'll be able to recognize it. There'll be a lot of sort of damp, smiling, sunburned kids out here, and they will be more than happy to wash your car. And it's a major fundraiser that helps them go on their work trip every year. And so, and if it, for some reason, it's raining next Saturday, you know, it hasn't rained all spring, but it might rain next Saturday, and if it does, it's the Saturday after. It'll be the 27th then, so you can come then. It starts about 9, I think, 9 to 2-ish, so any time in there will be great. And then this summer, you'll notice there are a number of things that are happening. There's a theater hike at the Morton Arboretum, the Run for Hunger, love to have you volunteer for that, and then Vacation Bible School, August 3rd to 6th. We're already accepting applications for that, and we have a few more folks that, if you'd like to volunteer, we'd love to have you with that. And we have families that, with kids that love to learn the songs for Vacation Bible School even before they get there. If you'd like to do that, there are CDs available at the Welcome Center. Pick one of those up for your family today, as kids can be learning their songs before we even get there. There's other things to read about. We'll let you do that. We were going to have our Iowa mission trip folks report today, but we're going to put that off until next week. So if you see them in their blue shirts and stuff, thank them for being on the trip. Hopefully most of them will make it back next week. You'll have there's a video and all kinds of stuff that goes with that. So next week, I'll report in from the mission work trip folks. Children of the congregation, if you come up here and get ready for your children's lesson, you can also hear Jessica play her flute. You guys want to come on up? That'd be really good. Thank you. few years ago when we were having All Music Sunday, I didn't preach, and the worship commission said, "Hey, wait a minute, you slacker. We didn't exactly mean just music. We want to have a little something." So it became sort of All Music and Mic Sunday. So this week, it happens that All Music Sunday falls on what the church calls Trinity Sunday. It always comes right after Pentecost when we lift up the nature of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and we try and understand what Trinity is all about. So I'm going to talk to you very briefly after we get to that point about dollhouses and fridge friends. And before I do that, though, and we read this very famous passage from Isaiah, who, you know, the music has this ability to take you to places that are sublime, right? To ineffable places. And it can be all kinds of music. I looked on my iPod and I couldn't believe the number of genre that I have on there, whether it's for you Chopin or if it's praise music or rap or who knows, Willie Nelson. You know, if it takes you there, you have that sense of being in a place that you can't get to hardly any other way. Isaiah talks to us about a place that he's taken to that he can't get to on his own either. It's a gift of God. Let's pray together. Lord, as we read your word to us today, as we hear your voice speaking to us through the music, send your Holy Spirit along with that word to enrich our understanding, to deepen our appreciation of you. Help us to understand, and in understanding to act, to be people who are not just hearers, but doers of the word as well. Amen. So Isaiah 6 says, you can follow along on 635 in the Old Testament portion of your Bibles there in the pew. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, and with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' The pivots on the threshold shook at the voices of those who called, and the house filled with smoke. And I said, 'Woe is me. I'm lost, for I'm a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts.' Then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. The seraph touched my mouth with it and said, 'Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out.' Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send and who will go for me?' And I said, 'Here am I. Send me.'"
And the whole earth is filled, and the
Our second scripture lesson, as you see, is from Romans 8. You can find it on page 158 in the New Testament. In this little passage, we see another aspect of the Holy Trinity. Each one is mentioned in this passage. As Paul talks to the church at Rome, he also talks about a unique relationship that we have with our Holy Triune God. All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God, Paul says. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. And we cry, Abba, Father. It's that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with Him so that we may also be glorified with Him. This is the word of the Lord. It was the year that King Uzziah died in Israel, Isaiah tells us. It was a bad year. It's always a bad year when the king dies in Israel. It was the year that King Uzziah died. It was the year that they bombed Pearl Harbor. It was the year Kennedy was shot. It was the year 9/11 happened. It was the year when the housing bubble broke and a recession began and unemployment reached 10% in June. It was a bad year. And Isaiah, there working in the sanctuary, had lots of worries, of course. With the death of the king, how stable was the government? What would happen to Israel, the economy, the nation, not to mention his own portfolio? What would happen for his children and grandchildren? He didn't even know if he'd have children or grandchildren. He wasn't sure now if he'd have enough money to marry that cute little girl in Gilgal. He was worried. It was a bad year. And then something happens. While he's there in the sanctuary, that changes everything. He's given a vision by God of God on the throne in heaven. And it changes his life. It's as if, up until then, everything that Isaiah did was like playing in a dollhouse sanctuary. It was like you woke up in the morning, like one of these little guys here, and you went out and you looked out, and instead of trees and all those things you're used to seeing outside your window, your neighbor going out to pick up the paper in his bathrobe, you saw God outside your window that morning. You rubbed your eyes maybe, you went back to bed, but you got up and there it was again. And everything about your life from that moment on, as it was for Isaiah, was just so much playing with dollhouses. It was a whole new understanding of the world. Everything seemed so important inside of here before. All of everything that you were doing, you were so engaged, so involved in making that living, and in Isaiah's case, in serving God in the sanctuary there. But he'd gotten so used to thinking about all those little things. Were the microphones on? You know, was the heat up? Was the air conditioning on? Were the bulletins printed properly? He'd forgotten about God. That's an experience that we're supposed to have every Sunday in worship. And not get worried about, now what's happening? What's that next hymn going to be? Or, oh golly, what happened there? That note doesn't sound quite right. What's the deal? We are supposed to come to the sanctuary of God and have that sense that Isaiah had, that God is in this place. And that everything else about our lives is like playing in a dollhouse. Now, in Protestant and Catholic churches, when you come into the sanctuary, you normally see something like this, don't you? Up against the back wall, you see a cross. Or in a Catholic church, of course, you would see Jesus on the cross. Or you'll see some kind of stylized form of this. But if you're in an Eastern Orthodox church, if you attended those, or a Russian Orthodox church maybe, you would see something a little bit different. Up in the tower, way up in the ceiling, depending on if it was that kind of church, you would see something else entirely. You would see this image or something very like it. I don't know if you can quite read that. It says, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is coming, the Alpha and the Omega." Always in Russian Orthodox and Eastern Orthodox churches, if it's not up in the ceiling, it could be against a back wall that you would come in and you would see something like this. Again, this seated pancroator. Have you heard that word? Let's see if I can get this to work. Jesus Christos, Jesus Christ, who is, there it is, pantocrator. Come across that word before? It's a great Greek word, pantocrator. It means ruler of all. In the Orthodox traditions, you come in and instead of seeing that cross, you come in and see this image of the ruler of the universe, this triune God who comes, and it's not a smiling Jesus, almost never. It's pretty stern. You see from these mosaics in different places of Europe, these are stern sort of looks. Serious, ruler of all looks. The Pantocrator. It's a profound sense of God that Isaiah has, this God as Pantocrator, the majesty, the power, the dominion of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Once you've experienced that, Isaiah says, everything else is like playing with dolls. You're playing at church until you've experienced that. Well, that's one side of the story. On the other side of the equation is a whole other understanding. Jesus says, no longer do I call you servants, I call you friends. I call you deep, intimate friends. Have you ever heard the term fridge friend? You know what a fridge friend is? I just came across that recently. You know what a fridge friend is? Haven't come across that? A fridge friend is somebody who feels comfortable enough in your house that they... Tim's got some, it looks like. Or he is somebody's fridge friend. That person feels comfortable enough in your house that when they come in, they go immediately to your refrigerator, they open it up, and then they complain when you don't have what they want. That's a pretty intimate relationship, right? If you still don't know what I'm talking about, there are some classic fridge friends from the last couple decades, and we're going to play a little video for that for you right now, just a short little reminder of a classic fridge friend. Here we go.
Hey, buddy. Yeah, I'm borrowing all your Tupperware.
Oh?
Why? Well, I closed my account at the blood bank.
What? It's here. It's in the building.
Right across the hall. Well, you want to go see?
No, I don't. In fact, if even one corpuscle of that blood should find its way across that hall, I will freak out on you, Kramer. Freak out.
You know, for a fat guy, you're not very jolly.
Hey, working out?
You know it. And I ditched all my junk food.
What the heck is going on here?
Sorry, buddy. Clean house. It's all health food.
Well, I may have to take it, but I don't have to like it.
Vivian left me a message. I guess a certain someone changed her mind about whether someone was responsible enough to watch a certain other someone.
Is this about me?
No.
Now that I've lost interest.
Vivian, hi, it's Elaine. Yeah, I'm over at Jerry's. I got your message. What? Yeah, he's right here. Hold on.
For me?
Go.
Yeah. What? Yeah, tonight? Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, later. Well, somebody's babysitting.
You? I'm more responsible than you are.
Oh, don't be ridiculous. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go fill my freezer with my own blood.
There you go, the classic fridge friends. Did you notice that? Kramer, you know, he comes next door to Jerry's apartment, as he always does. He's usually drinking out of his milk carton. But this time he comes over, takes all of Jerry's Tupperware to fill it with his own blood because he doesn't trust the blood bank. That's a whole other thing. But then you notice Jerry's on a health food kick and all he's got in his fridge are like veggies. And that ticks off Kramer, but he takes them anyway. He borrows all of Jerry's food, which he does all the time anyway. Kramer is the classic fridge friend. There's an incredible level of intimacy there, right? How many of you have fridge friends that come to your house? Okay, now here's a more honest one. How many of you are fridge friends? Yeah. Yeah, if I came to your house, I would go like, where's the hot peppers? What's the matter with you guys? Okay. The other side of the equation, besides this awesome Pantocrator triune God, is this God who says, I want to have an intimate relationship with you. He says, I want you to be my fridge friends. What? That incredible level of intimacy. You see it in the Psalms with David. David, at the one hand, is praising God in high and lofty language, and then in the next moment is complaining to God about his life. In one moment, he's giving great thanksgiving and adoration, and the next moment, he's yelling at God because God has allowed him to get sick. He's allowed his enemies to surround him, and it looks like his life is over. And David is ticked off, and you know, God doesn't seem to have any problem with that. God seems to invite that kind of intimacy where you feel close enough that you can yell at God like you would yell at a good friend. Now, that's something, isn't it? And on top of that, Paul tells us that it's going to be like that forever in eternity, because he says, no longer I call you friends. He said, oh, by the way, the Spirit of Christ in you will allow you to call God Abba, your Papa, Father. And in addition, you will become my step brothers and sisters. You will become heirs with me of the kingdom. So we become co-creators with Christ in eternity. Can you imagine that? Look at this. So we're fridge friends, but we're also, they're the awesome triune God. They're the panda creator, but they're fridge friends, but they're the Trinity at the same time. What? This is this incredible tension that we're called to live with as faithful people of God. On the one hand, we have to view and understand God as this totally awesome presence, greater than anything that we know, this transcendent, powerful creator, sustainer of all of life. And yet at the same time, this God wants to have a relationship with us more intimate than even any we know here on earth, more so than fridge friends, but heirs with Christ. Most of the time, we're erring on one side or the other. We go, oh, God's too far away. I can't talk with him. Or, hey, it's just my little buddy God over here. And we forget the whole transcendent thing. But we're called, as people of God, to try and live in that tension, to live in that place where somehow we hold God, the Pantocrator, this transcendent, powerful God, and this incredible God who wants to be intimate with us together in our lives. I challenge you this week to, as you think about God, to think about God and those two ends of that, the transcendent and the immanent God, together in your life as you listen to this rest of the music today, as we sing together about holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Amen.
Oh,
out of gratitude to our great, transcendent, and immanent God, let us receive our morning offering. We come to pray together. Let me share these concerns and joys with you. First of all, Tim Robbins asked for prayers for the wife and two children of Brian Kemp, 45, longtime friend of his from childhood, who passed away from cancer this last Friday, and for Ian Graham, Carrie's godfather, who's facing treatment for liver cancer. Also, John Brown is battling bone cancer. He was just diagnosed this past week. Remember John in your prayers. Ted Schomburg, Jr., suffering from kidney stones. Former office assistant Jenny Reichert's parents were in an automobile accident last week. Both were injured. Keep them in your prayers. And our current office assistant, Kristen Sterling, we reported last week, had emergency heart surgery. She had another procedure this week, but she now is finally on the mend and hopes to be home on Wednesday. Probably be another couple months of convalescing before she's back with us. And then Beth Fries-Dammers, they've been treating her for a really nasty flu, and it turns out that she had pneumonia. And once they figured out to start treating her for pneumonia, she improved rapidly. But Beth spent a couple days in the hospital earlier in the week. She's home now, doing much better, but she says, "I think I know what a resurrection experience is like." She was due to be on vacation next week anyway, so she'll be convalescing at home, getting ready for a graduation and a ballet recital and an open house, and hopefully she won't relapse. So keep them all in your prayers. And then in addition to all these wonderful musicians who are helping lead us in worship of God this morning, I'd also like to celebrate, especially with Ralph and Kay Lawrence, their 50th wedding anniversary. Uh-oh, George, you might have started something there. Let's turn our hearts to God. Great God of the universe, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Pantocrator, friend, you who know us at the very depths of our being, you who know what we cry out for even before we need it, you know what our heart's desires are, our fears and our hopes, all of those are not mysteries to you. Indeed, we are more of a mystery to ourselves than we are a mystery to you. Great God, we thank you for music that you've given us, ways that draw us close to your presence, that speak of the divine, of the ineffable, of beauty, where we can't put it in words. Musicians, sing it in our hearts. We thank you for the music that takes us to those places where we meet you. And we pray that more and more we ready ourselves for the taking, to be reminded that this is the not the last stop in our journey, but you have prepared a place for all of us in eternity, a place of great intimacy, a place of wonder and delight. We think of that especially as we hear of all these that are suffering, who are grieving the loss of loved ones, who are battling cancer, who are sick in body or in spirit. Gracious God, we pray for each that have been named and for those that are unnamed but very much on our own hearts in these pews. We lift up to you our world in all of its troubles and anxieties, its grief. In between the notes, it is said, gracious God, in the spaces is the music. So for a moment, in between these words, in silence, we speak to you and we listen for your word to us. Loving God, we thank you that you love us always. We thank you for Ralph and Kay's 50th anniversary, those years of faithfulness that are reminders and signposts of faithfulness for us all. May we be faithful to the calling that you've given us within our families and our communities, at work and at school, with our friends, and with you, our great God. All of this, we pray, as we sing together the prayer your Son taught us. And now as you go from this place, may the music of God sing in your heart and in your lives. May the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit dwell in you richly today and always. Amen.
Thank you.
go from this place with ears ringing in the joy of our Presbyterian origins of Scotland and the wonderful pipes. We go, let those pipes ring in your ears and know that ringing that follows you, this God is with you always in joy and delight and great power. Amen.
Thank you.